Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It's 8:04 Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Tuesday, the 11th of November. Of course, it is Veterans Day. Hood River Veterans Memorial Ceremony is, it's registered out. I don't think sold out's the right word, but they don't have any more room left. River of Life Assembly Church. Don't have enough room. But you can check it out. You either go to Anderson Funeral Home and check it out. I understand they'll have a stream up there on their big screen. Or you can stream it through their Facebook page, or I think also it's PDXJACL. It's the Japanese Action League of some kind. You can check it out on Instagram there. So you can see it. Of course, in the Dalles, 11 o'clock this morning, the Veterans Day Parade will be going on. So plenty of things to observe Veterans Day with. Here's what we're doing this morning, first part of the show. Hood River Valley High School's big canned food drive is going to get started here in a few days. We've got with us leadership teacher Lindsay Wiesman and student government's ASB president, actually, Felipe Mendez here. We're going to talk with them in a few minutes. Second half of the show, Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee will join us in a studio. Talk about a couple things that they are dealing with. We'll get an update as far as Rowena Fire efforts are concerned. They extended the declaration of a state of emergency related to that for a few weeks as a That keeps you eligible for a lot of different funding sources, et cetera. So that's pretty common practice. And also, we may talk a little bit about they've been approached about the animal shelter in Wasco County once again. By the way, Hood River City Council talked about that last night. So this is a common problem in the region. And we'll talk maybe to Scott about what some of the options are at this point. But we'll do all that in a bit. But first, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. And this day in 1620, 41 pilgrims aboard the Mayflower, anchored off Massachusetts, signed the Mayflower Compact, calling for a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation. 1918, fighting in World War I ended as the Allies in Germany signed an armistice aboard a railroad car in northern France. 1921, the remains of an unidentified American service member were interred in a tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery in a ceremony presided over by President Warren G. Harding. 1938, Irish-born cook Mary Mallon, who'd gained notoriety as the disease-carrying Typhoid Mary, blamed for the deaths of three people, died on North Brother Island in New York's East River at the age of 69 after 23 years of mandatory quarantine. 1966, Gemini 12 blasted off on a four-day mission with astronauts James Lovell and Edwin Buzz Aldrin Jr. aboard. That was the 10th and final crewed flight of the NASA Gemini program. 1987, following the failure of two Supreme Court nominations, President Ronald Reagan announced his choice of Judge Anthony Kennedy, who went on to win confirmation. And in 2020, Georgia's Secretary of State announced an audit of presidential election results that he said would be done with a full hand tally of ballots. Because the margin was so tight, President-elect Joe Biden led President Donald Trump by about 14,000 votes out of nearly 5 million votes counted in the state. The audit would affirm Biden's win. Days for today, of course, it is Veterans Day today, but there's a couple others what we found. It is Singles Day today because the number one's involved. It's 11-11. Four ones. There you go. It's also National Young Readers Day today, which is always a good thing to celebrate. If you want to help out that effort, Books for Kids Columbia Gorge could use your help as they try to put books in the hands of young readers in our region. It's also Origami Day today for some reason, if you want to do that. And our food today, this is always a good one. It is National Sundae Day today. Make an ice cream sundae. Make one for a veteran. They'll appreciate that. So there you go for what it's worth. Might not be a whole lot. 8:08 in the morning. We'll come back, talk Hood River Valley High School's canned food drive right after this.
Hi, I'm John Hamm, and let me tell you about how you can help families at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Here, your generosity ensures that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. Help St. Jude give children the greatest gift, a chance at a lifetime.
This holiday, help St. Jude find more cures for more children. Donate now at musicgives.org.
Hi, this is Dawn from Summit Embroidery Works. If you have a special event this summer, let me custom design apparel that captures the spirit of your event. For clubs, team activities, office products, family reunions, or wedding-related events, I can create a custom design for you and embroider it on your own apparel, or you can choose from a selection that I carry in my shop. Summit Embroidery Works, you can find me there Monday through Friday at 805 West Steuben Street or online at summitembroideryworks.com.
Are fleas and ticks giving you and your furry friends a bit too much of a rough time? Well, worry no more. Columbia Veterinary Hospital in the Dalles is your one-stop clinic for pet protection. Our team of expert veterinarians will positively knock those pesky critters out of the park. Beware, ticks and other pests are a year-round nuisance, not just a spring and summer issue. Be sure to keep you and your pets safe this summer and all year round with Columbia Vet Hospital Flea and Tick Prevention. Columbia Veterinary Hospital, serving the Gorge in the Dalles.
This Veterans Day, H2 Oregon, honors the people who carry duty into places most of us never see. Across small towns and big fields, veterans kept watch so neighbors could build lives, farms, and families. From H2 Oregon to every veteran in the Gorge, we remember the long nights, the missed special occasions, and the work that made our neighbors safe. H2 Oregon stands with the Gorge in remembering their service.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back at 8:11 in the morning. We're joined now in studio by Hood River Valley High School leadership teacher Lindsay Weissman and the ASB president at Hood River Valley High School, Felipe Mendez. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. And I'll start with you, Lindsay, here first, just kind of get us set up here. And
okay.
We do this every year, Hood River Valley High School, canned food drive. This goes back as long as I can remember, which means it's been a long time.
I've only been here for 15 years, and so it's definitely been here longer than I've been here.
It's well established when I got in here. It is very well established, but just tell us a little bit about what the students will be doing now, you know, what the goal is here.
Since we've been doing this for so long, Fish Food Bank has really relied on this canned food drive to help stock their shelves for a period of time. And the need is so great this year. And so we are just really trying to help support our community in any way that we can.
Felipe, every year you guys pick a theme that I either laugh at or roll my eyes, depending on what it is. So lay it on me this time. What do you got?
So this year's theme is super cans, like superheroes, and
okay.
Our slogan is "We can all be heroes."
Oh, that's a good one. That's a pretty good job by you guys this time.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like that. I think you guys did pretty well here. But how do you get everybody involved in this? I mean, this becomes, having lived it as a husband of a retired teacher. Having made a donation or two to help put a class over the top on occasion, what do you have the kids do out here? How do you get them all involved?
Well, we just spread the news throughout the school, so like morning announcements, social media, and we just try to get as many donations as we can. So,
but you got a competition going here, and I guess this goes by. I don't know. You just pick a period, Lindsay.
Yeah, this year we picked our third period because that's the period that we have student government. So they're
okay.
The ones running it. So it just made sense to do it the same time that they have it. So third period this year is our competition.
So you got third period classes competing with one another. And you've got prizes by class and then prizes for the school as a whole if you reach a certain level.
Yes.
So tell us about what the kids are competing for here.
So the top four classes, so if you win first place, you get to go to the bowling alley for a bowling party. Second place, you get Betty's cinnamon rolls. And then third place, in-class pizza party. Fourth place, movie day in class with snacks. And we have some school prizes as well. So 10,000 cans, we have snacks during finals week. Mm-hmm. 20,000, student government does the polar plunge in the river. 30,000, Trouble Cali will be at the function. 40,000 extra attraction at the function.
Now, maybe we should explain to people what the function is.
Mm-hmm. It's our end of the year kind of field day.
Okay, so it used to be the luau. Okay, yeah. Now it's just called the function.
They revamped it. Okay. It's called the function.
All right. Well, go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you.
So, and then 50,000, we have a late start Friday. So on a Monday late start, but it would be on a Friday. 60,000, Mr. Yasui and Mr. Corcoran will dye their hair. 70,000, there will be extra assembly and extended lunch. 85,000, I have to get a buzz cut at the assembly.
Oh, so you put your own hair on the line here.
Yep.
All right. That's good leadership, by the way.
Yeah.
Before you make everybody else, but that's coming later here.
Yeah, it shows real dedication.
Yeah.
And 100,000, Mr. Takatai gets another tattoo.
So how many is he up to?
Was it last year? I can't even remember.
It was. Mm-hmm.
But he got two tattoos, one on each bicep, on his arms.
And the kids
designed it though.
It was like a math equation.
But he's a math teacher for those who explained to everybody. So that makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then 100,000. Oh wait, sorry. No. 200,000 student government bleaches or buzzes their hair.
So at that point, everybody joins you.
For the most part.
So, I mean, how much do you guys usually are able to get, Lindsay?
It really depends. Last year, we got around $14,000, mm-hmm. and that doesn't even talk about the pounds of food that we had. And so I know money goes a long ways there. Anything goes a long ways, but they can buy it. They can purchase, so money's great.
Well, the formula I see here is $1 for... We'll get you three canned items.
Yeah, yes. That's for our purposes, for points, yes.
For points.
For points.
That's not an official.
No, that's not an official. Yeah. They'd probably be freaking out right now, but it's for us.
So how do you go out and gather those cans, Felipe? I know you guys do a lot of different things.
So during third period, we'll go and collect the cans from each classroom, third period classroom, and we'll count them as student government. We'll count them all and tally everything up. And we'll enter that into our system.
Okay.
And then for students to go out, we're encouraging students to talk to their families, to send out. We use a platform called Mighty Cause mm-hmm. that people can donate online, and it shows the competition happening mm-hmm. within the school. And then we're also going to have kids set up, hopefully at Walmart. We are going to have them set up at Walmart for mm-hmm. the next four weekends after next weekend. So
that'll start next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah.
Will you be in other locations as well?
Right now, no.
Okay.
Unless kids are going around and asking for donations. So mm-hmm. if kids are coming around asking for donations, I promise it's for the Fish Food Bank.
Okay. So let's talk about there's a list here of items, I guess, they're really seriously needed, mm-hmm. that go a long way, et cetera. Felipe, tell us about what maybe is the Fish Food Bank really is looking for here.
So we're looking for various items. We need canned hominy, canned corn, chicken noodle soup, ramen, canned vegetables, fruits, canned tuna, chicken, and salmon. I say that a little weird. No. Canned soup, mac and cheese, boxed skillet dinners, dog and cat food. This year we are also going to be doing personal care items such as soap, shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrushes, and feminine hygiene products. And extra points for this year, we have pancake mix and syrup.
Really?
Yeah. The reason why we do that is because we partner with the Christmas Project, and that is something that they do for their Christmas boxes. And so we try really hard for kids to bring that in, and we make it worth extra points so that they can have it in time for their Christmas mm-hmm. boxes.
So, Felipe, as you're doing this, I think you've done this before, obviously. I mean, you've been involved in the past, not as ASB president, but you've been involved at different levels here.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know, when you do something like this, for the community, I mean, yes, you have the competition, that's fun, but, it's really about, helping some people who really need help right now. What do you learn and take from that?
Well, I really like to see like the students all collaborate like as a whole. Mm-hmm. And while there's also a competition, it's for something good for the community, and it's for people that are in need. And it's really, for me, it's really heartwarming to see everyone like contribute to this.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lindsay mentioned cash donations. Now, mm-hmm. online has kind of changed this effort a little bit.
It's helped,
here.
Yeah.
Because, well, it also extends it somewhat.
It does, yeah.
I think you take cash donations through the end of the year.
We end up going right up into January 8th. Mm-hmm. And so our canned food drive, the actual products, we are taking until December 17th. And so we stop, we count that, and then we mm-hmm. allow people to still feel that holiday spirit right. through the holidays and donate until mm-hmm. January 8th.
So you use a website called Mighty Cause, which mm-hmm. is mightycause.com/event/HRVHSFish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another website? Does the school have a website where you have where that link is going to be?
Yeah, just on the Hood River Valley High School website. So it should be in the front.
Yes, go to Hood River Valley High School website. You don't have to remember what I just said.
Right, and it won't be posted because we haven't started yet. Our kickoff assembly is this Friday, and so we have a real super can-themed assembly happening on Friday.
A canned assembly.
Canned assembly, and we'll be ready to go. And so it'll officially open after the assembly mm-hmm. this weekend.
Now, by the way, if you do the cash donation,
yeah,
which a lot of us like to do these days because it's easy.
Sure.
I assume that if you are giving to a certain class,
yes,
that there's a list there.
Yeah, and it's on the website as well. And mm-hmm. so we track all of the money that comes in through that website. So if it's a check, which if we ask for a check, it's going to be to Fish Food Bank, so that we don't right. we just want it specifically to Fish Food Bank, or cash. And so we put it all on the website, so it tracks every money donation mm-hmm. that comes in.
So again, you're going to be out at Walmart. When are you going to be out at Walmart in terms of times and day? I assume it's on the weekends.
It's on the weekends, starting on the 22nd and the 23rd from 10 to 4. And that's really if we can get classes to sign up. So that mm-hmm. sign-up sheet's going out this week, and hopefully we'll get some kids out there. So we'll be there from 10 to 4, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 29th, and the 30th, the 6th, December 6th and 7th, and December 13th and 14th.
And again, it's a great cause. We had the folks from Fish Food Bank on just the other day talking about the situation they're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
News events may make it a little easier, but still going to be a lot of demand for what they do. So if someone wants to drop off cans mm-hmm. someplace at the school, because goodness knows your parking lot gets full, last I checked.
Just a little.
So where do they drop off cans?
They can drop them off to the attendance office.
Okay.
And if they have a class in mind, they can make sure that it's marked. But if not, we can just put it in the general school mm-hmm. donation, right. and that will just go towards our total overall goal.
Mm-hmm. So, again, pancake mix and syrup is in need. There, you know, and it's the usuals, the canned hominy, the corn, the chicken noodle soup, macaroni and cheese, box skillet dinners, anything canned or non-perishable. Is really what you're looking for here. And also taking donations of dog and cat food mm-hmm. and personal care items.
Yes.
So if you've got those also are part of the canned food drive. Hood River Valley High School, again, the theme is Super Cans. And that's a better one than I've heard. Yeah,
I'm glad you like it.
I've rolled my eyes at a couple. This one I understand.
I wish you could watch the process of figuring this out. It's very interesting.
I bet you I would. I may not want to see that.
It's pretty funny.
We can all be heroes.
Yep, that's our slogan this year.
That's a slogan. So anyway, again, you guys are gonna be out at Walmart starting not this weekend but the following weekend.
Correct.
And for the next four weekends that goes through, and also again, you can go to the Hood River Valley High School website starting at the end of this week.
Yep.
And there'll be a link if you'd like to donate by cash. And again, if you have a student with a third period class, you want to make sure you find out who that teacher is so it gets donated to the right place.
Absolutely.
Lindsay, Felipe, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much.
It is 8:23 in the morning. We'll come back and take a look what's in the news right after this.
Let Asset Advanced Security and Electrical Technology introduce you to the cloud.
No, not that kind of cloud. Cloud-based security systems. Do you know what the cloud is? To be honest, I'm just an announcer. I don't either. But the people at Asset, they're total experts. Cloud cameras, cloud access control, cloud intrusion alarms. How does this benefit you? It'll centralize data security, eliminate the need for on-premises infrastructure, make backup and recovery easier, and a whole lot more. Asset isn't a 1-800 number place that you call. They're a local company. They live here too. And if you need video surveillance, access control, fire alarms, you name it, Asset will help create it and install a security solution that's perfect for you, including cloud-based security. Asset, your local connection to the cloud. Just not that kind of cloud. To find out more, visit asetinc.com and stay local. Asset, advanced security and electrical technology.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Mom, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotion. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom, it's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion, and their customers are paying for it. While Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials, trust me, I would know. Consequently, they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Dial #250 and say the words Micro, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250 Micro. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
#825 in the morning, Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee is going to join us in studio here in a few minutes. If you are in Hood River County, I know many of you are listening here. This is a great way to help Fish Food Bank, by the way. And it's a great learning experience for students. You know, the importance of community involvement, etc. We urge you, you know, give to the Hood River Valley High School food drive as generously as you can if you are able. It's always a great thing to see how well they do. Because they really do a good job here, in a, whether it be monetary or otherwise, please take part. But first, before we get to anything else on the show, let's tell you what's in the news. And we do remind you again, registration for Hood River's Veterans Day ceremony this morning at the River of Life Assembly Church is at capacity. It can still be viewed online. It's going to be available at Anderson Tribute Center. They're going to have it on their big screen there with a live stream. And on their Facebook page, we've been told. And it's on Instagram at PDXJACL. It's put on by American Legion Post 22. It marks the Oregon Nisei Veterans Historical Marker installation on Highway 35, honoring the contributions of second-generation Japanese-Americans, and officially commemorates Highway 35 is the Oregon Nisei Veterans World War II Memorial Highway. It begins at 11 this morning. There will also be a dedication ceremony for the marker at 1. Its location on Highway 35, where the Nisei Veterans Highway sign is located. The annual Veterans Day Parade in the Dalles is today. Starts at 11 in the morning. We'll go down the usual parade route in downtown the Dalles. Highway 97 was closed for a time Monday night between I-84 and Biggs Junction due to a vehicle fire. ODOT indicated the highway was closed just before 9 in the evening. It reopened a little after 11. Don't have any details on the vehicle fire situation at this point. And detectives from the Dalles Police Department were awarded the Unit Citation for Excellence Award from the Oregon Police Officers Association at the organization's annual awards ceremony on Friday. The award given to Austin L., Sam Perez, and Juan Castro was in recognition for their part in the capture of a homicide suspect from Hood River in April, who was located after an extensive manhunt in the Dalles. The trio worked closely with other members of the Columbia Gorge Major Crimes Team. They developed information that the suspect was attempting to obtain a handgun. Despite vague tips, cases of mistaken identity, and false leads, L located the suspect at a camp near downtown the Dalles. When officers responded, the suspect fled on a stolen bicycle. The Dalles police officer swiftly apprehended him without the use of force. He was then turned over to the Mid-Columbia Major Crimes Team. Weather forecast, going to be sunny today. Highs mid to upper 50s and a fairly light wind. Currently 47 degrees in Stevenson, 44 in the Dalles, 45 in Hood River, and it is now 8:28 in the morning.
So many of our Gorge neighbors have served our country. Veterans Day, we pay tribute to those who have made sacrifices through their service.
I'm Bob Dickinson from here in the Dalles. I was born and raised here. I served in the Air Force from 63 to 66, early 63 to late 66, and I was stationed in Klamath Falls for most of that period, and then I did one tour in Vietnam for an outfit called Red Horse. It was kind of like the Seabees, only it was Air Force.
Wasco Electric Co-op thanks our veterans for your service to this country. From Wasco Electric Co-op, member powered since 1940.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter with innovative solutions for premium comfort. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. Learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/residential. Then call Oregon Equipment. Since 1946, living local, buying local, and supporting local. OregonEquipment.com. Carrier, for the world we share.
At Bonds Printing, we consider the environment when making choices in our business. Our inks are soy-based. We still wrap packages in paper versus plastic and reuse packing material when shipping, not buying new. We are proud to offer Konica Minolta business machines with their own Symmetry Toner made with plant-based biomass materials. And we recycle old copiers when companies trade them in. We at Bonds want you to know we care and are doing our best to do our part. Thanks for listening.
If you have questions or issues with things like consumer loans, mortgages, insurance claims, or money scams, the state of Oregon has advocates here to help. Get answers in action at dfr.oregon.gov.
Si usted tiene preguntas o quejas acerca de seguros, préstamos, hipotecas o fraude financiero, Oregon tiene representantes del consumidor listos para ayudarle. Reciba respuestas y acción en dfr.oregon.gov.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. It is 8:31 in the morning. Happy to have with us Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Mark.
Thanks for coming in on what technically you guys don't have to work today, I don't think. Yeah. I assume you have Veterans Day off in the county.
It is a holiday for the county.
Yes.
But as you know, commissioners pretty much, yeah. You know, we either, depending on who you talk to, we're on vacation all the time or we're never on vacation. So, and we have no holidays.
Depends on how they feel about you at the moment.
Exactly, yeah. So today, yeah, I'm working.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk, first of all, let's get an update on Rowena situation. Okay. Number one, last week, and this is more procedural than anything else, but okay. This is pretty common. You extended the state of emergency for the Rowena fire.
We did, mm-hmm. As did the state of Oregon. So, mm-hmm. And the reason usually for states of emergency are because they typically bring resources when mm-hmm. you have a state of emergency. So we're still obviously working on things related to the fire. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest thing we're working on is trying to deal with the cleanup situation, which is basically a funding issue.
So where are we sitting right now with the state of Oregon on that discussion? Where I was last left off on was, we know the cost is about $3 million. We actually have that fairly well, as well as you can estimate this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's probably more towards $4 million, but like $4 million minus.
Okay, but you were close there.
Yes.
But then came the issue of the state wanted the county to do something that would cost about the cost of the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question became, why should we have a state contract if we have to spend the same amount? We could just do it ourselves and not deal with whatever the state regulation was.
Right.
Where are we now?
So I would say we're still working through that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with basically, you know, regulations, rules and regulations. You know, it's funny. I talk to people about government bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. But it's like oftentimes we, the mm-hmm. government, find ourselves in, you know, similar bureaucracy, right. trying to work our way through the rules and regulations. Yeah. In this case, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations through DEQ that if you apply them specifically or very succinct, you know, different ways of applying them. And when the fires of Labor Day fires happen, you know, it's like they just cleaned it up.
Yeah,
they went through. But there's some permits that we've been talking about. And if we're, you know, required to get these permits and if we're required to do this and that and the other, it just drives the price up and up and up mm-hmm. because it doesn't really make sense in this case. So we've been having discussions about, do we need to do this? Do we need to do that? Mm-hmm. And trying to kind of get through those. But that's part of it. Part of it is where's the money going to come from? Mm-hmm. You know, the governor's office has been really involved in this process, as has mm-hmm. Oregon Emergency Management, and everybody wants to help. Yeah. We all want to get this done, but, you know, the governor's office doesn't have the money sitting around mm-hmm. Willing to or able to kind of give for this purpose. So we're probably going to have to go to the e-board to ask for money, you know, to kind of get the rest of the money. So it's just quite a process.
And I know you can emphasize with this. If I'm sitting there, I'm one of those people yes. who's been impacted by this.
Exactly.
That's all well and good, but
about that.
Exactly.
I just want to get, you going to clean my property up yeah. or not? And when are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time, you know, I mean, you know, it seems like it just happened the other day, but months have gone by, weather is changing, and, you know, it's really important that we, you know, we or the state get this done.
Especially when, I mean, I had Christina Volniakowski and mm-hmm. Kelly Halsey Glover,
yep.
your Gorge Commission Executive yep. Director and Wasco County's Community Development Director on the show. And tomorrow, the Gorge Commission addresses the what should make this, assuming it's approved, easier for these folks in the permitting process of just yes. trying to replace what you have and allow you also to live on an RV on the property. But where I was going to get to is that is the realization that you learned a few months ago that on average it takes about 7 years to get things yeah. back to where they were.
Full recovery.
Which is just, you know, when you stop.
It's crazy.
It's just shocking, isn't yeah. it? When I hear this issue, it starts to give me an idea why.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to see it get extended any further.
Yeah. There's just, you know, it's challenging, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a financial thing. It's a planning thing. It's a permit thing. There's so many things involved. And mm-hmm. what happens, as you can imagine, is like you're living in your house. Everything's fine. Everything goes away. And now you have this whole new challenge, like navigating this system. Mm-hmm. What do I do first and when do I do it? So that's why, mm-hmm. you know, there are navigators working with these folks trying to help them get through the process because it's not something people normally do, nor do they want to do.
Now, what is it that the state wants you to do that's causing this issue?
Well, I know one of the things, it's called a Section 1200 permit, and mm-hmm. it basically defines an area if there's disturbance in the area, but then, you know, do we have to get a permit for each one of these sites? That would be hundreds of permits, right?
And the
permits themselves cost, I don't know, a lot of money, like over $1,000 per permit through, and it takes time to get the permits mm-hmm. for each site. And then when you have the permit, if you have a rain event, as I understand, yeah. based on the conversation we have with the contractor, every time you have an event, any kind of a weather event, then you have to go out and survey the site to make sure nothing has been disturbed. And then you have to report on the disturbance that you find or don't find. So it creates a tremendous amount of work, i.e. equals money and time.
And that's the part they're asking you to pay as a county.
Well, it's the question we've been asking, do we need to do this? We have some 1,200 permits already at the county, and I think maybe ODOT has some as mm-hmm. well. So we've been trying, can we use those? Do we have to? Anyway, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of bureaucracy, and I'm not blaming the state for it. It's just the systems that we have and the rules and laws that we have. But when they get applied to a certain situation, it becomes problematic.
Well, yeah, especially when you have people, frankly, again, they just want to get this started.
Yeah.
At some point.
And I just want to get it done.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's my goal.
I'm not sitting here wagging a finger at you, but there's a reality of that. I mean, Justice, I thought, put it really well a couple months ago at a county commission meeting. Yeah, you know, he said, if I'm in this situation, I don't want to hear about this. I just want to hear about when is that this is happening and starting.
You know, the interesting thing, honestly, to mm-hmm. the big picture for me is like when this happened, it was horrible, right?
Right.
But I had an expectation that it would be kind of processed in the same way so many other things, where FEMA comes in, they bring all the resources, they bring the people that do this all the time, and it happens relatively efficiently and quickly through the government. Well, FEMA obviously didn't come.
Well, you aren't big enough.
The loss was not big enough, which is, I mean, I didn't realize that you had to have a disaster of like epic proportions to get FEMA support.
But having said this, this has happened in other places in the state of Oregon. Yeah. I would have thought the state would be far more ready to do the, at least go, okay, here's the process, here's what we're doing.
You know, that's a good question. My understanding is this has not happened. It's either been a massive thing where FEMA has come in, or it's been small enough where there's only been losses of, you know, a few structures, and this hasn't been something that's happened. So we've never had to deal with this, Wasco County. We've never had any kind of loss of structures near this, even remotely near it. And honestly, I don't think the state has seen in this kind of, you know, area as well.
I kind of want to move on to something else here, but I will ask this. Because we are coming up on wintertime.
Yes.
Is there a concern about this?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the reason why I've been really like, let's just get it done. Let's just get it done. Let's get it going. Mm-hmm. Because once you start getting precipitation, you know, some of the concerns are, you know, contaminants that are on the ground, all this kind of stuff. And once you start getting wetness on the ground, one, it makes the project more difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, just the messes, as you can imagine, if you're out working in your yard and it's dry and stuff, versus if it's the middle of winter and it's just a mucky mess. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's avoid that. So we're getting to that point where it's we're getting there already. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, I don't want to presume Wasco County has the money, but is this a situation where if Wasco County decided enough's enough, we've got the money to actually do the cleanup, just tell the state, we're going to handle this? Or is the permit such an issue where you couldn't even proceed on your own?
I think both are issues. Okay. I think the permit, because you can't do it if you you don't have either the okay to proceed, you know, whatever. So you just couldn't do it. The money is another thing, too. You know, for us to, you know, even if we have the money for us to just start writing checks, I think of it in terms of Hood River County, right? So, like, if we start doing it, does that mean all counties are expected to do it?
Are you setting a precedent that would be, that could be detrimental down the road to yourself and your fellow counties?
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at the financial health of counties in general in Oregon, it's dismal. I mean, it is dismal. We're in a lucky position. I mean, we're one of the few counties that are kind of operating in the black, but most counties are operating in the red.
Yeah, and that's not to say you will always be operating in the black.
No, exactly.
You have not always operated in the black.
We have not always operated in the black. When I started back in 2010, you know, we pretty much started it, we didn't have much.
Yeah.
And back before that, I don't know if you remember, you probably do, but we were asking for operating levies to continue to operate different functions of the county.
And we're headed toward this here in a moment here on the next subject. But so we'll continue to follow that. I mean, I assume there's meetings scheduled on this.
There is. There's actually two meetings a week that the, you know, there's a lot of meetings, the long-term recovery, the recovery group, a lot of our staff. I will say the state of Oregon has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people involved in emergency management, they come to the table, they're here constantly. They're going to be here till the end, till it's actually finished. So that's great. We just need to figure out the path, find the resources. We're actually working with Representative Helfrich. He's going to be going to the e-board to try to find, you know, this kind of balance of the money that the governor's office doesn't have.
Now, well, these permits, are these DEQ permits we're talking about?
Yep.
Okay, so that's really where the agency we're dealing with
mostly,
here.
Mostly, yeah. And DEQ's been at the table the whole time as well, and they've been, you know, trying to get through it. I mean, and honestly, they're just saying, hey, these are the rules we have. We need to follow the rules. You know, we can't just, like, you know, turn our head.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to work our way through the process. So it's frustrating for everyone, whether you're mostly the people on the ground that lost their, you know, structures.
Right.
But it's equally frustrating for us because we want to, you know, help them. Everybody wants to help them. We're just trying to find a way to get there.
Something that came up last week at the county commission meeting was future of the animal shelter, which this is not a new conversation. Tyler Stone was very emphatic on that, by the way, your chief administrative officer, and correct. That really you need to kind of eventually come to a conclusion here on this, because this is not the first time you've been asked kind of to push some money into the table and a permanent solution. Let's start me back up here. what the county is required to do mm-hmm. in this issue, because counties do have requirements they have to meet. They're very basic.
Right.
I think it's you have to provide animal control, mm-hmm. officer. Do you even have to provide a shelter?
I'm not sure that's part of the statutory requirements. Right. I think that functionally, you know, you need to have a place to put them if you are out mm-hmm. and you get some animals and you have to put them somewhere. The way, you know, when I started back in 2010, we actually had an animal control program. It was kind of internal. Mm-hmm. Back in that day, you know, we were kind of transitioning to where, I mean, it wasn't a kill shelter per se. I mean, mm-hmm. that wasn't what it was defined, but that's what functionally happened.
Right.
You know, we didn't have the resources, didn't have the staff, didn't have to try to run a whole process to mm-hmm. any animal that came in. You work on the process to get them adopted out. The people, you know, our citizens, many yeah. people wanted that to happen. And so they took it on themselves. Like, we don't like the way that, you know, normal shelters operate. So we wanted to do different. It's like, okay. So they took it on their own. We, you know, helped them at the beginning. We provided resources. We provided the facility that we used. And they have been doing that ever since. It's been through a couple iterations. It was Home at Last. Mm-hmm. It could have been some other ones. It's now the Columbia Gorge Humane Society.
Yep, that's correct.
So it's a different entity, right? And there was mm-hmm. the last iteration, you know, married up with a group down in Jefferson County. So, and I don't know all the details, but mm-hmm. it's difficult. It's yeah. challenging to operate it. It's not like a operation mm-hmm. that just like rolls in money. It's one of these things that's always going to be challenged, which I think is why they're looking, when they look at like, what's the solution? Well, if it had a tax base, mm-hmm. it would be easy and we would have money coming in, just mm-hmm. like, for example, the library district and, you know, mm-hmm. the other districts that we have.
Government a la carte, which I'm not a fan of.
Yes.
Admittedly.
We've talked about that. So anyway, but honestly, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I've been encouraging them to like, let's figure out where the shortfall is. Like mm-hmm. how much money can you raise from all of the citizens that mm-hmm. want to support this kind of a thing? Where can you get grants from, you know, and what kind of resources do you come up with? What do you need at a minimal kind of level? And what's that shortfall look like? And then let's talk about how we can address it. Because there is some, you know, responsibility for the county and the city. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like in our case, you know, the city, that's where the primary number of animals both exist and kind of have challenges.
Because county commission last week, you authorized, if the city matches.
Yes.
$50,000 to deal with the short term. If the city puts in also 50, that's 100. Right. And that would basically get them close to a year of having an executive director, which right now all this is being done voluntarily.
Right.
And that I'm sure is unsustainable for an organization. And also they were asking for help with utilities, mm-hmm. which, you know, if it was just the utilities, not the executive director position, it'd probably be a lot easier. It'd probably be a fairly easy mm-hmm. operation to deal with here. Do we know if the city, because the city hasn't had a formal council meeting. I know they had a two-day goal setting thing that I did not check out last week. So I don't know how that turned out. But and the city, of course, has been dealing with this, that they're trying to get an animal licensing program.
Mm-hmm.
Get it actually established where it actually functions.
Right.
And frankly, to have a licensing program, that usually means you do need to have this service available
mm-hmm.
in some way. So, I mean, do you see a position for the county and city to get together and help develop the path forward on this?
Oh, for sure. I think that's, you know, we're going to have to work together with them to figure out, like, how do we, they need it, you know, as much or more than we do. We don't, you know, the animals that we get some animals, obviously, out there. Mm-hmm. Our animal problem sometimes is different. Sometimes it's wild animals. Or other things, but I think in the city they get a lot. So it's a problem that we have been working on collectively. There has been many discussions. I asked mm-hmm. Tyler after the meeting last week, you know, has he had discussions with mm-hmm. the city so they know that like this is coming? And he indicated that they had had discussions. So I was going to try to take time to reach out, but I haven't done it yet.
Now, Do you own that building right now? Because at one point you had, I think,
turned we donated it, over it
to Home at Last.
Yeah, because they wanted it to use for a resource for getting grants, and that was their plan. It was, so we did donate it, but it was with a reversionary clause. Yeah. So if they didn't continue to operate or it wasn't continued to be that, then it came back. Mm-hmm. So it did come back. So we do own it now.
Have they indicated whether or not that should be in their the building in their hands right now?
You know,
for the same reasons. You know, I understand why. Yeah. It made sense.
I think at this point they're just dealing with operational issues. Okay. I don't think they're to that point.
But my thought was, you know, if you have this in hand, it might pave the way to provide more money for operational issues. Yeah. But of course, the reality is, it's hard to get operational money for these things from outside sources.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why the licensing program, and I have been asking the question, I'm not exactly sure, what is the amount of revenue that would come in if the licensing program was working best? Because right now, unfortunately, our ordinance that we passed, and we're encouraging the city to pass the same, is, you know, veterinarians are basically the point source where these dog licenses have to happen. And so they're kind of required. They don't like that. I understand that.
Hood River County's had that for ever. In my mind. Yeah, that's where we get our license. We fill out the license at our veterinarian. Yeah.
Well, and I think that you can get a license at the veterinarian. It's requiring that if you are working on an animal, you have to check the license, which they have to do already for rabies and other kind of state things. So,
And the other part of the license is that, if I remember, once it's done initially, the county then does send a renewal form.
Okay.
Usually. I mean, but I think you can also do that through the veterinarian.
I'll
have to ask our staff veterinarian on the show, Mike Foss over at Alpine Veterinary. Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
But I just know usually we've done it with our dogs at that location, the vet. So it's like what was being proposed in the Dalles to me wasn't that unusual. In fact, it pretty much is standard practice from what I can from my limited knowledge.
Yeah. And of course, we did it for the county. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't control what happens in the city, so it's incumbent upon the city to deal with it. And they've been, you know, getting some pushback and people, you know, not excited about doing that. And I get that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you haven't been doing it, the last thing you probably need is more paperwork. Yeah. I get that part of it. So, I guess to wrap this up, we are running out of time here. You know, because what Tyler Stone mentioned, I'm sure is you know everyone would like to is finding the permanent solution, because this comes up pretty frequently, every couple years, I'd say, in there. Is there, do you see in your mind, without a special district that would be up really to the backers to do, without that sort of setup, is there, though, a path to get a permanent solution to this?
That's a very good question. I believe that there might be. There's got to be, to begin with. Although there are organizations, and I don't want to talk about NORCOR, but NORCOR is a similar kind of organization.
Right.
Totally different, but it financially doesn't have a way. I mean, the revenue that we get is coming from contracts, and sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's not. So this is similar, but I think that if the licensing thing could get in place, I think that would be a stream of revenue that would help. There may be some other stuff that needs to help, added to that. But I think that's a first step is let's get the licensing in place. Mm-hmm. Let's help them kind of move forward a little bit and see how it goes. Yeah. And then we can kind of work on the next phase. Let's say we get 60 or 70% there.
That brings us to the one more thing here, which is because Hood River County is having the same animal shelter
problem.
That's
what I've heard.
And in fact, Hood River City Council has talked about it last night at their meeting. I didn't catch all of it, but their concerns about it. You know, we've regionalized things before. You just mentioned NORCOR. We've had various regional functions.
Yeah.
Could there be a regional solution to this?
Yeah, I've asked the question as well, because I do think sometimes it makes sense, you know. If you broaden it out, you know, sometimes there's economies of scales and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I've brought up the question. Sometimes people said maybe. Sometimes said, it just becomes difficult when it's cross county lines. But, you know, if everyone's struggling, maybe we can figure out a solution going forward.
Well,
we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I mean, this is not a problem that doesn't occur like everywhere.
Well, it's especially when you're dealing with, you know, in terms of problems for governments, I mean, compare it to, only use NORCOR as a comparison with at the time and jails the situation. This is a lot less complex.
It is, and
the money is a lot less.
Yes.
So I mean, I would think that this would actually be a candidate for a regionalized solution.
Yeah.
Probably more so than maybe Norcor. You know, the Norcor, I think, probably has saved a lot of money when we really break it down.
It has.
We just get. I think more. That's more the frustration of the cost just continue to skyrocket in that sector, and it's hard to keep up with. But we will follow. We'll see what happens here.
Two more things. Quickly.
Real quick here.
Okay, so one of those tax statements got sent out. I just want to remind people that they're due on the 15th, which is actually the 17th because the 15th is on a Saturday. And then also, you mentioned Veterans Day, but I just want to thank all the veterans out there. There is a parade in the Dalles at 11. There's also an event at the Senior Center at noon.
Okay.
And people, if you have any veterans issue, we have great veteran service officers with Russell and Chelsea. Come in and see us. They want to help you. Their passion is to help you.
Scott, thanks for doing this again.
Thank you, Mark.
Scott Hagee, Wasco County Commissioner, 853, and we'll wrap it up after this.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I always buy my emergency food from my Patriot Supply. Fair prices, fast shipping, quality food.
We love buying from My Patriot Supply. The products are fantastic and service is excellent.
My Patriot Supply is America's most trusted emergency food company, and right now they have a special offer for listeners of this station. It's called the Black Friday Survival Special, and it comes with a 4-week food supply, plus $150 worth of free gifts, including everything you need to prepare your emergency meals, like a cook stove, fuel, fire starters, even a water purifier, bug out bag, and more. It's the complete survival kit your family needs to ride out natural disasters, civil unrest, or worse. And it makes a great Christmas gift, but it's only available through Black Friday. So head to MyPatriotSupply.com to check out everything that's included. With all the uncertainty in the world, disaster preparedness is more important than ever. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get prepared today. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Let Asset Advanced Security and Electrical Technology introduce you to the cloud. No, not that kind of cloud. Cloud-based security systems. Let's face it, we all know the term cloud and what it is, but the people at Asset will use it to your advantage. Cloud cameras, cloud access control, cloud intrusion alarms. How does this benefit you? It'll centralize data security, eliminate the need for on-premises infrastructure, make backup and recovery easier, and a whole lot more. Asset isn't a 1-800 number place that you call. They're a local company. They live here too. And if you need video surveillance, access control, fire alarms, you name it, Asset will help create it and install a security solution that's perfect for you, including cloud-based security. Asset, your local connection to the cloud. Just not that kind of cloud. To find out more, visit asetinc.com and stay local. Asset, advanced security and electrical technology.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And it is 8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow on our little radio hour, Hood River Police Chief Neil Holstie is going to be here. And we are going to spend a little time with him. We're going to talk about homeless issues a little bit. And what sparked this for me was the last city council meeting was last night. So it was the meeting before. And when some residents of a neighborhood came and they had hit issues trying to deal with somebody set up a homeless camp in the Wilson Park area. And they got varied answers from varied people depending on when they called or who called. and they were getting different answers. So I thought we'd have Neil come on. Neil's always great about coming on the show. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, where we are right now after various court cases as far as how you handle these situations, what police can and can't do. So we'll do that with Neil, first part of the show. Second half of the program, Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, should be with us. And we'll talk about what's going on with Hood River County Health Department. Friday, Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, going to talk about that as well on Friday. So also, we're in the midst right now. You know, one thing we've not added for a while, and we've had some slough off for various reasons, but, you know, we have certain guests or groups like Wasco County on a monthly basis, Hood River County, City of Hood River, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to add some. We're going to have Mid-Columbia Center for Living now, talk mental and behavioral health issues with us on a monthly basis. We're happy to report that is nailed down. And we got a few others out there. That we're going to be adding into the group. So, yeah, we're just making changes around here, you know, which we've been on a long time, but sometimes you have to make some adjustments. So stand by for more on that. We're going to have more and varied group of guests on the show. But we're done for today. I'm out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Remember your veterans out there. Veterans Day today. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's